Hello and welcome. Welcome back to All Things Urticaria. My name is Marcus Maurer. I'm here at the UCARE, the Urticaria Center of Reference and Excellence at Charité in Berlin. Very happy, looking forward to this episode of your Urticaria podcast. And we've talked about many things, many interesting topics. What we haven't talked about is something that we will put in the focus today: urticaria and sports, urticaria in athletes. And this is because, well, first of all, we got lots of requests to talk about this. My urticaria is getting worse when I do sports. Me, it helps when I do sports. What is the connection? Is there sports urticaria? Just to give you an idea of the questions that we have received. But maybe more importantly, I have with me the urticaria and sports expert, Elena Borsova. Elena, thank you very much for joining me today.
Marcus, thank you very much. Good morning, everyone. Good morning who is joining us, to colleagues, to patients. And first of all, thank you very much for this kind invitation on the topic that really excites me. And I believe this is topic then where we, our specialists in urticaria, can see a gap and can close this gap, and definitely can impact lives of athletes. And Marcus, as you always motto, we can do better, and that's certainly a niche where we can improve. And just maybe a few words about myself. I'm allergist, immunologist by background. I did my PhD in urticaria, surprisingly, in the UK. And since then, I've been focused on this area in my research and in my clinical work. Currently, I work as associate professor in Japan at the University of Niigata, in Niigata. And I'm very happy to give my insights and discuss it with Professor Maurer, this topic, because I was involved and as a lead for task force, EIC task force on urticaria and endurance athletes. And we are getting closer to the end of this wonderful project, and it's perfect time to discuss it with you.
Super. Thank you so much, Elena. Let's jump right in with the first question. How big of a problem is urticaria in athletes? And maybe even a little bit deeper, is it urticaria? Is it allergies that are linked to these sports activities?
Marcus, this is excellent and absolutely burning question for all of us, because surprisingly, the hard data are lacking, or at least definitely we have some circumstantial evidence, which comes from case reports and some observations, and surprisingly from social media and some sources, non-medical sources. But I think there is definitely a gap for academic input in clarifying how big is the problem. But I think, you know, I have some insights that may help us to actually define the size of this problem. The first paper that we managed to find dates back to 70s, so more than 40 years old, when specialists from Bulgaria looked at the specifically at urticaria in athletes. That was a study of 30 patients, and they noted that very significant contribution of physical urticaria, which is cold urticaria, heat, solar urticaria, etc. So that was the starting point, and it never built up. So there was some data that comes from surveys of athletes, and my guesstimate would be between 1 to 5%, but it's based on two studies, our study and another one by Martin Kurovsky, who was the chairperson of the EIC section on urticaria and anaphylaxis in, you know, in sport. And you know, in their case, there were two patients. In our observation, there were five patients. So that's not much to define the problem. But I will follow your tradition. When the epidemiological studies of urticaria were lacking, you for decades were saying that we can estimate how much, how, you know, the population in Europe, and then work out the percentage. So same here. There are, well, at least a million people running marathons in certain geographies, and we can understand that 1 to 5% will have urticaria, and that means there are hundreds and thousands of people who have this problem. And endurance athletes are difficult to evaluate because many of them do not want to disclose that.
Sure.
There are, you know, based on the fear of repercussions for their participation and everything. So, but I do believe that this problem concerns hundreds and thousands of people running marathons.
So in these people, and I'm sure it's not just marathon runners, I'm sure many other athletes have a similar prevalence. Is it that they all suffer from cholinergic urticaria, or do they have exercise-induced anaphylaxis? What in how many of these patients who develop wheals when they do exercise, or even get angioedema, in how many of them can we nail this down and assign it to a urticaria subtype or another reason for wheeling?
Marcus, difficult questions. So based on questionnaire studies using AQUAR questionnaire, this is allergy questionnaires specifically developed for athletes due to efforts of wonderful scientists, Italian scientist Matteo Bonini, for a decade now. There is a question which, you know, do you have itchy rashes? So this is absolutely non-specific. And there is a self-reported urticaria. And again, as we know, self-reported, there are, you know, issues. How specific is that? And so again, we are having a Bulgarian study, 40 years old, which says 14% of inducible urticarias.
Mm-hmm.
We have actually your work with Professor Kultanan's team that showed that about one third of patients with anaphylaxis will have a history of urticaria.
Mm.
And if I remember correctly, 16% will have only urticaria and no symptoms of anaphylaxis. So again, there are only circumstantial evidence to answer your question, and I would love to have more precision. And this is why this podcast is really comes at perfect time. And we have everything. We have tools. We have UK network. We have everything at our, you know, fingertips to answer the question, to get evidence, and we know exactly what kind of evidence do we need. And
perfect. Yeah. But, you know, this is probably another prompt for another project, which I love. We have unmet needs, and you just outlined two of them. We don't really know the prevalence of exercise induced wheeling of the problem of urticaria in athletes. And when patients come to us, runners who develop wheals when they run, it is, I think, absolutely critical to figure out why they have this. Is it cholinergic urticaria? Is it exercise-induced anaphylaxis? Is it something else? Because, of course, the management of the underlying condition, the treatment, very much depends on what is causing these sports-associated episodes of wheeling. There's one interesting question here, Ellen, and I'm not sure how much of a problem that is. Someone is saying that they were treated for their exercise-induced wheals. It was unclear whether this is cholinergic urticaria or exercise-induced anaphylaxis, that they received cortisone, and that they were afraid of running into doping problems. You are helping a lot of athletes. Is that a common problem?
Absolutely. Mm. And because the focus of our task force was endurance athletes specifically, so definitely. Well, let alone Olympic Games, but marathons fall under regulations of the doping requirements. And Marcus, I'm very happy with this question because it leads probably one more unmet need. So the patients who have some urticarial lesions, and I'm not even saying that all of them have exercise-induced anaphylaxis. Patients who have urticarial lesions in the past, they need guidance whether it's induced by exercise or not when they are planning, for example, to participate in half marathon or just a race. And that leads for two questions: how to diagnose them, because endurance athletes, they have definitely different threshold. The exercises that we use for protocols for diagnosis in general public certainly does not apply to endurance athletes.
Yeah.
These are remarkable people who will run for 3 hours or longer, or you know, in a difficult circumstances. They may run, I don't know, 80, 100 miles per week. So these thresholds need to be adapted. And so our diagnosis, as you mentioned, it needs a bit more precision. And I remember I was in UK in one remarkable clinic where they said, like, patients have right to for precise diagnosis.
Absolutely.
It has to be differentiated.
Look, Elena, let me jump in here, because, you know, what we do when we see patients who report that exercise makes them have wheels, our go-to suspicion is, well, this could probably be cholinergic urticaria. So we do an exercise test where we expose patients, where we have them do exercise, we monitor them, and we look clinically, does this exercise, this standardized exercise, does it induce wheels? You say that this may not be the perfect way to approach athletes, especially endurance athletes with wheels. What can we do beyond? What is it that we can offer to these patients?
Marcus, again, fantastic questions. I will answer quickly and get back to doping question.
Okay.
So what we can do here, and this is my belief, and that's what the ground for task force. First, it has to be optimized. This individual threshold for exercise has to be established, and the adequate exercise has to be performed during the test, and that probably involves a series of challenge tests. And another one we know from your systematic review with Professor Kultanen's team, the urticaria or symptoms may develop within the first hour. So that's kind of quick answer on top of my head what can be done. But we can go even beyond. We can go exercise plus cofactors, because in endurance athletes, we have to remember they are running in remote locations, and there are some phenomenal geography for these beautiful trails. But from medical perspective, and if anaphylaxis is involved, that becomes a different scenario. For example, like Antarctics, they have ultra endurance event, and Sahara, you know, there are many examples. It's a, you know, absolutely fascinating field. But there are two questions here: if allergist has to be on board, or for example, your UK network has to be implemented with people at high risk, that they have choose the allocation of endurance or any other events, taking into account that it has to be somewhere, someone who is familiar with this condition. So that's kind of the diagnostic protocol has to be optimized for these people, because they are highly, highly trained individuals. And the second question is about doping. And I think, you know, we are losing the count of potential UK initiatives here, because definitely steroids, Marcus, you are an opinion leader on that, that prophylactic use of steroids, that's an optimal strategy of what we can do in 2024 for urticaria. We can, there are better tools in our, at our disposal. And the biological therapy for prevention, if there is a high risk, but we need to justify, it's a matter of risk assessment. And, you know, we can do better, and I'm not. I will not mention any biological drugs specifically for this podcast. But, for example, we have several these patients. They have to be reported. For example, one of the colleagues here at my department was running a marathon using one of the biological molecules for the treatment of his urticaria, or five patients that my PhD student was supervising. They managed to do half marathon, which was remarkable with urticaria. And we have to report this, because, you know, there are There is a clinical experience of using biological drugs for prevention in anaphylaxis. We just need to systematically build up our evidence.
Yeah.
There is a need. There is a need, and UK network may respond very quickly to that.
Absolutely. I really see also a big clinical need. Now, we are taking care of several young adults. Their dream was to be professional athletes. No, they were some of them were on the pre-Olympic teams, you know, doing and they developed cholinergic urticaria, and they thought that they have to give up that dream, that they could not become professional athletes. But of course, there are solutions for cholinergic urticaria. There are solutions for exercise-induced anaphylaxis based on good diagnostics and then using the tools we have or going beyond. No, there's experimental treatments that can be used. So I think it's very important to allow people who are affected by this to pursue their dream and become what they want to become. I'm very happy to hear that you think the same way.
Marcus, would you mind just a quick comment here? Because you mentioned there is no need to give up this dream, because even from doping perspective, certain molecules, biological molecules, are allowed for other conditions like asthma, which is not an issue. So why urticaria if it's the same drug but for different indications? So, there is no need to. I'm actually, this is my personal take on this subject. People who are, you know, endurance athletes, they're using this for as a life achievement, as a lifestyle, as a life choice. And that aligns with my philosophy to life in general. Urticaria should not stand between person and, you know, running marathon or, you know. Another thing, like, I yet to meet a few people maybe with high risk of food-induced exercise and anaphylaxis, which may require more nuanced answer to that. And another question, Marcus, that's for maybe for your opinion. If there are high-risk individuals, maybe we need a special medicine, which is supervised. There are medicines, there are events for post-transplant patients. Why not, you know, having an event like that, which is supervised by allergists and dermatologists and, you know,
Absolutely. And I was intrigued by something you said, that it may not be the exercise alone. And thinking about it a little bit more, you're absolutely right. I know, I think of Ironman or also other endurance athletes that don't run. Maybe they swim, maybe they bike. And the relevance of cofactors, no? I think it could make a huge difference whether you run in the heat or you run in the cold. You know, there are also some races that are in very remote and cold regions, you know, where maybe the sweat, maybe the heat, maybe the sunlight, maybe the cold, maybe the water in swimmers could be cofactors that, well, add on that trigger that is provided by the exercise itself to promote wheeling. How relevant are these cofactors, do you think?
I think they are immensely relevant, and that opens the door to a new approach, like personalized approach to a choice of endurance event, which is absolutely fascinating. And, you know, even in the context of Ironman, for example, someone wants to pursue endurance exercise, but they may have some symptoms which may not be compatible with the swimming part. So Ironman may not be a choice for these patients, but, you know, running in Sahara desert, why not? And if we assess the protocol, if there are some preventive treatment, which, for example, I've realized that our research that we've done together on cold-induced anaphylaxis, that patients are under-prescribed of epinephrine, and there are, we know the signs that larger group of patients have to be precise, that becomes even more relevant to endurance athletes, that maybe, you know, they just need to be thoroughly evaluated, prescribed prevention treatment, prescribed rescue medications, optimize the protocol, and choose properly the endurance event. And that could be a solution to most patients.
Fascinating, absolutely fascinating. I have to look at the time, Ellen, and talking to you makes me lose my sense of time. I wanted to pick your brain on one question that I have, and I don't really have a good answer to this. I'm sure you know of this research. This goes and looks at the relevance of exercise from a different angle. And it is based on research from our UCare in Kayseri, from Rajib Ertas and Murat Turk and others. They show that exercise can actually be a protective mechanism for reeling in, say, patients with symptomatic dermographism, no? Where they looked at the sensitivity, the skin sensitivity to the eliciting trigger before and after exercising, and they saw that this was reduced by exercise. How can this be? What mechanism? I'm sure it's a different mechanism than the one that makes people have wheals when they exercise. What can it be that exercise provides people with that protects them from their urticaria?
Marcus, I'm loving this question. I'm so grateful because you are the perfect person to talk about this. And as everything in life, the answer may not be binary. And I think I have, you know, by going through the literature methodically and talking to patients and athletes, I think there may be some insights, but at least I personally found for myself to explain this. There are certainly a subgroup of patients that will react for training exercise for a number of reasons. And I explain this as a summation anaphylaxis, the term introduced by Professor Ring from Munich, that, you know, certain changes in chronic urticaria in anaphylaxis that we know about, high histamine in the tissue, muscle releasability, sensitivity, skin sensitivity to histamine, et cetera, et cetera. It overlaps with the adaptation to exercise. And histamine is one of the messenger of adaptation. Histamine is released in muscles. We just don't know mass behind it. We don't know how relevant is that to skin. Does it tip the balance, which probably does, in susceptible individual? And I really think of, it's just the unique circumstances in life that over the last century, medicines become so important, and that urticaria affects a certain percentage in the population, and the combination of those results in overlap that interesting academically, but I'm sure it will give us some answers that, for example, you and myself are wondering about urticaria, but we can also improve the experience of this. It's like Pompeii. It's experiment, one-off experiment that, you know, the first marathon that was run a century ago, there were only 17 people, and now 50,000 in Paris marathon. So it just become numbers game. Yeah. But answering your question, so why it makes worse, we have better idea. Mm-hmm. Histamine, cytokine profiling, certain cytokines may overlap with the allergy, and also exosomal response. Yeah. There is a crosstalk between muscles and skin. But for positive effects, that's definitely next level question.
Next level question. I love next level questions. Because today we have the means to answer them. No, we have a huge network with many patients. We can look into the skin. We can look at skin fluid, at skin cells, at patterns that change when people exercise. And I'm sure that this will help us characterize even better how athletes who wheel and how people who benefit from sports, how that works.
There are a few hypotheses, but now we are venturing into the realm of wild speculations, and which makes it wonderful. And so one of them could be in our research and in published systematic reviews, interleukin 10 is definitely consistently in every but one study is going up. So there is immune regulation that is happening there. Okay. Then there are... I think skin was left out of all important conversations that happening in exercise field. in terms of lactate shuttle, for example, is very famous scientist George Brooks, who described the shuttles, he was asking in his publications if there is a muscle skin shuttle. There's just not enough evidence. And there is some evidence that comes from Canada, Mark Ternopesky lab, that showed that interleukin 15 has anti-aging effects on skin, and endurance athletes have younger skin biology, or skin histologies that corresponds to younger biological age. And they've done experimental work to demonstrate that. So there is a positive response as well. And I wouldn't be surprised if there are intermediate effects that may aggravate conditions, but there are chronic long-term effects that may be positive as well. I personally don't like chronic histamine exposure in people predisposed to urticaria. That's probably something that will make me anxious. But sure, for other circumstances, I do not exclude a positive effect on skin at all. There are circumstantial evidence. We can do better. We can certainly do better than that.
Fascinating. Elena, thank you so much for sharing your wisdom and your compassion for sports and urticaria with our audience today. Fascinating. Good luck in your research.
I do hope
we can bring it to the network so that this research, your research, can benefit from all of the efforts, all of the resources that are in the network. And of course, be great fun to figure out some of these unmet needs that you outlined today. Fascinating.
Marcus, thank you very much for this opportunity and for shining the UK spotlight on this problem. And I just want to mention one thing. It becomes easier and easier to work on this problem because lots of scientists in our world, you know, kind of in our academic world, they are running marathons. They are running, there are famous scientists like in Vienna that we know and in Japan. And I personally sign up for, not for endurance, but for a small race, you know, in preparation for this podcast. And, you know, there are lots of scientists who understand and who experience this, you know, endurance events, and they are absolutely willing to contribute to close the gap.
That's a really interesting population, no? They love the science, they love the sports, so the motivation is high, and they're there. Let's work with them. I like the idea a lot.
Highly impressive individuals. Thank you very much, Marcus. Thank you for your time.
Thank you. Domo arigato. We had Elena with us today, Elena Barsova, who is at the Department of Dermatology at Niigata University in Japan, an expert on how sports relates to urticaria and allergies. So thank you very much again, Elena, for sharing your interests and your knowledge with us. For those of you who would like further information on this topic, go beyond what we had the time today to talk about, check out our show notes. There's interesting information there. We will put some of the publications that Elena made reference to in the show notes. Also, of course, the link to Elena if you have questions to her. And this is also true for our previous episodes. So if you haven't had a chance to listen to all of them yet, please do that. Super interesting, with further information provided in the show notes of these episodes. With that, keep liking us, keep subscribing, keep recommending this podcast to others who may find it interesting. Do look out for our next episodes and do send us suggestions like the one that prompted this specific episode. We do take them seriously. We bring them on board. We would love to make our episodes address the questions, the topics that you want us to talk about. So thank you very much for that. Thank you again, Elena. Bye-bye.
My pleasure. Thank you very much. Bye-bye.
And everyone, stay healthy until we hear each other again. Bye-bye.